Triple M. Brew and Dits. Top three things you need to know.
What's making news, Roo?
Jacinda Ahern wants to do a four-day working.
Would that be Jacinda Ahern?
I've done that again, haven't I?
Yeah.
Jacinda Ardern wants to do a four-day week, or she's throwing up the merits of it for work-life balance being the main beneficiary of it. Let's have a listen.
Some of the ideas being bounced around is just how can we support New Zealanders to make the most of travelling around the country, and some have been saying, well, if they had a bit more flexibility in terms of their travel and their leave, they might be able to do that. Lots of people suggesting we should have a four-day week. Ultimately, that really sits between employers and employees. As I've said, there's lots of things we've learned about COVID and just that flexibility of people working from home, the productivity that can be driven out of that.
That's here on Triple M.
Yes. I'd like to have a discussion on this. I think there's definitely some positives and definitely some negatives in this idea. Some people like working long days and some people don't.
So therefore, just to clarify this, you're still doing the same number of hours,
yes,
but in 4 days.
That's right.
All right.
Yep.
Just trying to do the maths quickly, but if you work 9 to 40, if you work 9 to 5,
instead of 5 8s,
what would your work day be?
9 to 5 is 8 hours. So if you did, what'd you say? No, 8 till 5.
8 till 6.
9. 8 till 6. Yep.
See, Roo, on the surface, it wouldn't suit everybody.
No, it wouldn't.
Because think about, well, Mel the button pusher here, two little kids. If Mel worked 9 till 5, all of a sudden she's getting home at 7 p.m. or could even stretch out to 8 p.m., depending on what hours you did.
Yep.
Two little kids, so bath time, meal time,
yep,
getting them to bed on time. You get home and think, God, I've got to go to bed in a minute because I'm getting up an hour earlier for work.
Yep.
It would impact someone like your life, wouldn't it?
Definitely, and then that would flow on to your partner, and it'd be harder to juggle those responsibilities, and
then again,
be using OSH.
You might be a young single lady or single bloke and think, yeah, I want every Friday off or every Monday off. That'd be fantastic.
Yep.
So it'd be different for different people.
Yep, and as you said, it'd be up to the employees and the employers to work it out when they wanted to do it or if they didn't want to do it.
Now, here's a real naive question. Do we still have flexi time?
What do you mean, flexi time?
Flexi time was a big thing
put in
the 80s. Just work when you want, as long as you've done the 40 hours.
Sure, I don't think so.
Public servants used to go into office buildings and turn a clock on and
they're
turn it off.
On bloody flexi time.
Good morning to all the public servants out there.
They haven't lost many jobs.
They were still in bed.
Hey, I saw an article on that last time. Hey, there hadn't been private sector jobs are down about 8%. There hadn't been any sackings in that area.
No. Unsackable.
Or pay cuts for that. I might just throw that in while we're talking about it.
Yep. All right. Hey, just a warning, and this is a good warning too. RBTs are back today. So we know we haven't had any for a while during the lockdown, but they're back on the roads today.
Yep.
Despite Alan admitting to taking drugs prior to his arrest, he remains optimistic about his second test.
Well, I reckon it should come out pretty close to negative, actually, because I've never had much.
Alan, you've returned a positive sample to amphetamine.
Positive?
Must have been...
Slipped that in my coffee.
Someone must have put it in my mouth when I wasn't watching.
That was RBT on TV last night. It was actually done in Adelaide. So that was an Adelaide driver.
Yeah, and a bloke got done for 0.076 and only got a fine and 4 demerit points. But it used to be 0.08, didn't it? Now it's a fine between 0.05 and 0.08.
0.05 is a fine, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. So anyway, RBT's back on the roads today. Hey, there's a good little story out of Telstra. I like it when you get these funny little responses like things like this. But a person has complained to Telstra about their 5G towers.
Don't put a tower near my
joint. Don't put these 5G towers
up. I don't want to live under a bloody tower.
All right. And talking about the fact
catch
that it's spread the coronavirus.
That's right.
Anyway, Telstra
tracking me
wrote back to this fella and said, well, if we took the 5G towers down, you wouldn't be able to download your conspiracy theories. So, that's a pretty good response, isn't it?
Yeah, well done, Telstra. Good work. What did the kid get up to, Dix?
Oh, yeah. Now, this was on TV last night. A little boy in Canberra who's 8 years of age. His parents gave him the iPad to play with. It was one of those, well, just go over there and shut up, will you, and play for a couple of hours. Spent $8,000.
On what?
Yeah, I don't know, but all sorts of stuff. Just went shopping.
Mummy's credit card.
Yeah. It was my iPad, and we sort of gave it to him to do his schoolwork and a bit of fun in between.
He could unlock the iPad, and I didn't realise that the fingerprint would allow him to purchase in-app games and things like that.
Sometimes, did you see anything come up saying you're spending real money?
No.
So I jumped onto my internet banking and quickly looked and started seeing thousands and thousands of dollars missing out of my account.
Well, you won't get the kid again, will
actually,
you?
That, can I just tell you, I think this is a funny story. This involves my son, who's now a school teacher, years ago, and these people will be listening to this one. They're great people, but their name was Thousand, right? Anyway, and it's spelled F-A-L-Z-O-N. And it was back in the days of phone books. And I said, I'll ring them, and because I didn't know, he didn't know where they live. So I'll ring them and find out where the address is. I'll drop you around there. Mm-hmm. You know, you can play on a Saturday afternoon. And I, at the time, I said to him, I said, how do you spell thousand? He goes, well, you know, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000.
Oh, no.
He did.
It's not.
That just reminded me of it. F-A-L-Z-O-N.
Yeah.
That's how he explained it to me. he's now teaching the youth of Australia, that boy.
Good work.
Anyway, Ruin Ditts here on Triple M.
Dynamic Insurance Brokers. For business insurance delivered personally.
What a goal!
Ruin Ditts Overnight Sports.
I'm on strike. I am being harassed here. Before we get to sport, I'm not reading the sport. Listen, I've got my shoe off. I've got my boot off because I've got an issue with my foot. And you've all looked and gone, oh, you've got gout. I haven't got gout.
You have got gout.
I've got athlete's foot.
I have never heard gout being nicknamed athlete's foot.
I haven't got gout. Gout is for red-nosed old blokes who are piss tanks that drink too much. And I am not that.
That describes you pretty bloody accurately.
Athlete's foot.
Gout is at one end of the spectrum. Athlete's foot sounds like it's at the other end.
Being the athlete I am, I've got athlete's foot.
What is athlete's foot?
It's when you get a severe infection. Over the years, you would have got this.
Severe infection?
Yeah, from being in showers in sports change rooms, you pick it up and then you're stuck with it for the rest of your life.
Well, you have athlete's foot for your whole life.
It's dormant and
it comes
back.
The first time I've seen you have your shoe off the whole time I've worked with you.
Well, because I'm wearing boots that are a little bit tight and uncomfortable, so it affects me. I've taken my shoe off.
Did you buy shoes the wrong size, did you?
Well, no, they weren't initially, but then when you pick up these afflictions.
You bought another pair of $600 shoes that don't fit, have you? Surely not.
No. Listen, what's happening in the world of sport?
Not a lot.
No?
Pretty much the same as yesterday.
Let's talk about athletes.
With a different spin on
them. Yeah, righto.
It's like the sport report on the Channel 7 News for the last 2 months.
So we're still talking about the chess championships.
apparently the Crows and Port are staying here now and they're not going to a hub. They hope not to play in a hub.
Yeah, right.
Looking forward to a showdown in round two, and it could be a night grand final.
Now, what about the talk that it might not be at the Adelaide Oval? Why can't it be played at the Adelaide Oval?
Well, unless, they can't fly people in because of the restrictions. That would be the only reason. Because the oval's fine and
the players are here.
Yeah, the commentators do it from Melbourne anyway.
Yeah.
I'd be on the boundary line.
Yep.
Surely they've got enough umpires in South Australia, haven't they?
Yeah, you'd reckon. But anyway, there's talk that it might be in doubt. They might still have to play interstate, which is crazy.
Oh, we've got a phone call here. We've got a...
Hang on, we're doing our sports report.
Yeah, but Steve knows a lot about sport. No. Let's go to Steve. G'day, Steve.
Yeah, g'day. How you going?
Good, mate. What do you want to talk about, sport?
Sport being, Ditts being a sportsman and all.
Yeah.
His athlete foot, sorry about that, Ditts, but if you're drinking a couple of wines here and there, the old gout kicks in.
He's got gout! Right,
what's
hang
the
up
sign
on
of
Steve,
that,
please?
Steve?
I have not got gout.
Have you had gout, Steve?
Oh, I've had gout, mate.
You sound like you've had gout too. And how painful is it? My cousin's got it. He can't even put his sheet on his toe.
You can't put a shoe on. You can't have a sheet over the top of
it. I'm putting my shoe back on just to show you all.
What else, Steve?
Well, it's like you can't put, like, you know, you can't walk.
You can't eat tomatoes?
Or
is that just an excuse?
All the legumes, all the different foods you eat, the prawns, the tomatoes.
Legumes.
Unfortunately, you're going to have to cut down your diet and bring lots of water.
Mate, people have been telling Ditts that for years. His diet down.
Look, I'm telling you, the last time.
This bike is bulletproof, Steve.
The last time, I haven't got gout, all right?
Let's get Dr. Lane on and sort it out, Ditts.
Is there anything else happening in sport that you want to mention or not?
I don't think there's anything happening.
Just finally, with the finances of clubs, the Fremantle Dockers, this is the biggest perhaps raffle prize I've ever heard of from a club.
From a club,
to raise money, they're putting up a $700,000 house as first prize. And that's for the Dockers. That's for people to keep their memberships or buy memberships.
Pledge their members, they go into a chance to win.
Yeah. Gee, the meat tray's come a long way from the Port Footy Club.
The meat tray that's invisible. It doesn't actually exist.
Do you know?
The one with Blue Pack on the ticket.
Used to be packed in on a Saturday night after the game at Alberton, and Bob McLean would get up and go, right, let's draw the raffle. Janice Smith, you've won the meat tray. Get on you, Janice. Just come up to the bar.
Janice is not here, everybody.
And he made up names every week, so they never had to buy a meat tray. He goes, thanks, thanks everyone that bought a ticket, and we'll do it again next week.
Thanks to Alvin and Butchers for that one.
And so, yeah, Fremantle have put up a $700,000 house as their main prize.
Well, I said it's the biggest financial issue in Australian football rules history. This thing at the moment.
All right. Thanks to Dynamic Insurance Brokers. Gee, they'll want to sponsor that sports break forever now, won't they? They'll be wrapped in that.
Yep, we need insurance on us.
Dynamic Insurance Brokers for business insurance delivered personally. They're good fellas. Yep. They really are. Ruined it.
You need insurance on your foot.
On Triple M. My athlete's foot.
Gout.
Ruined It's Gout Free on Triple M here this morning on this Friday morning. All thanks to Distinctive Homes. Their display villages will be open right across the weekend. Let's check out the highlights of the week.
The top five things we've learned on Ruined It's this week.
Number five, we learned from Steve that you shouldn't drink and then post ads on Facebook.
I don't know if you've heard of Marketplace on Facebook. You know, yes. Where you can sell stuff.
Yeah, that's reckon the place to sell stuff.
I'm nearly 60, so I had a few drinks Saturday night and I went to post something to sell on Facebook, and instead of putting the article I was going to sell, I put up a selfie of myself.
Let me take a selfie.
You get any bitters?
I got a few nasty comments, Don't drink and post stuff on Facebook. No, yeah. Sure.
60-year-old man for sale, poor condition, accepting all offers. Number four, we learnt the Crows are heading to an AFL hub on the Gold Coast.
Well, don't worry, I had a sense of humour when they said we'll go on the Gold Coast. I said that's not where we had the bloody pre-season camp, is it? I was on the Gold Coast. Imagine if it was the same joint.
Oh, no.
Okay, let's get Tex Walker on to clarify.
Where you're staying's got nothing to do with last year's pre-season camp, has it?
To be honest, mate, I'm not too sure because we don't know where we were.
Oh, we'll play the Richmond song on the way from the airport and see what happens.
Oh, that's right. The Crows boys were blindfolded last time they were at the Gold Coast.
Number three.
Thanks to Roo's son Joe, we learn if Google's a man or a woman.
Is Google male or female?
Google male or female?
Oh, definitely female.
Female, because it doesn't let you finish a sentence before making a suggestion.
Joe, that's a little bit naughty.
That's a joke, all right.
I don't even know what it means.
That'll explain it to
I'll explain it to you later.
If Dad doesn't explain it to you, Joe, you'll
probably find out when you get married.
Number two, we learnt sometimes breakfast radio gets in the way of Chris Dittmar's breakfast. Like this week, when he was meant to be reading an ad.
A message from the government of South Australia.
Tax time. Tax time 2020 has landed. Just had to swallow that coffee there. Tax time 2020 has...
How about during our Ruba contest a while ago?
In fact, we're told that Ruba will go off this week, Ruby, because we're going to give that many clues. We're not going to stop until it's gone off. Mm.
And who could forget when Matty John's prank called Ditz, interrupting his wine drinking time.
Small world, is it? Well, he's an absolute gentleman. He's a great fella.
Number one. Speaking of drinking...
Pubs, open them up. People want to go there, Ditz.
We learnt the boys are very keen to get the pubs back open again.
Are you listening, Stephen Marshall? Get the pubs open!
People do want to get back to the pubs.
Before you go, boys, you're looking forward to getting back to the old rubbity-dub for a beer or what?
I think Roo wants the pubs open.
Should be opening up this Friday.
Beer, wine, spirits.
Feel like a little red?
Yeah.
What do you feel like a little port?
Mm.
What do you want, Sangiovese this week?
Multipulciano.
They talked about all things booze this week.
Southwick Bitter.
Southwick Bitter.
Southwick Bitter.
Just call them the Booze Brothers.
On the weekend, I went out to the bin to empty our cans and things. You know when that big noise of bottles being emptied?
Jigga, jigga, jigga.
I thought that seemed to go for about 5 minutes.
Ditz is so good at drinking wine, he's been asked to host a masterclass.
Got 10 of our listeners all zoomed up with me. You have to drink wine, taste wine. And
say, that's nice.
Nice, yeah.
Next, do you spit or swallow?
No, I definitely swallow.
Speaking of drinking, you'll never guess what Dave from Elizabeth saw after a couple of drinks.
I was driving through Roseworthy one night, and my phone rang, and I had to pull over. One of the footy lads was ringing me. I pulled off the side of the road, and no word alert. This is the first time I've ever spoken about it. I swear I've seen a Tasmanian tiger.
You beauty!
About 2 days later, you had a caller ring up, and he said he'd seen it, and I was like, nah, man, I'm losing the plot. And I'd never said nothing to this day.
He drank at the same pub you did.
The top five things we've learned on this week.
No wonder you got gout. What happened? You might be scratching from the wine masterclass.
No. You push through the pain. Push through the pain, you do.
Push through it, yeah. You'll beat it.
Ruined, it's on Triple M.
He's a plumber.
Rudy's Plumbing. You block it, we unblock it.
He has a funny accent.
My mum's from Holland and my dad's from the Netherlands. It's a beautiful accent, isn't it?
And he also happens to be Australia's meanest TV reviewer.
Australian television, it is manure.
Please welcome to Ruin Dits for Breakfast.
Every week right here on Triple M.
Rudy Vanderstone, TV reviewer.
Oh, Ru, I am still recovering from last week,
oh,
The Last Dance.
Michael Jordan. Best basketballer ever.
Well, he has got yellow eyes, that's for sure.
Yes.
So I hope there wasn't any negative blowback from my review of The Last Dance.
No, a lot of positivity.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, today I'm reviewing Lego Masters 2020. But before I get into it, boys, when I was watching Lego Masters, I think on Sunday night, I heard this ad on the telly. Listen.
What does being the number one tennis player in the world taste like? Well, I don't know. It's kind of a little bit something like it would be. Yeah, that's it. Vegemite. Tastes like Australia.
Wow, that is quite a question, Ash Barty. What does being the number one tennis player in the world taste like?
Oh, no, I don't know.
I don't think I'm the man for the job, to tell you the truth. And I'll tell you what, if it's Vegemite, you've really put me off my toast this morning.
Sweet Jesus. Like Vegemite.
What kind of a message are they trying to send with that ad? It's so confusing.
Very confusing.
That's an ambiguous question, that one, isn't it?
Have you ever tasted what it's like to be a number one tennis player? I love you. You go down there to Memorial Drive and lick a tennis player? What do you do? But enough of advertisements. Today I'm reviewing Lego Masters 2020, a show featuring high-functioning nerds making things out of Lego. As I said in my review last year, and I quote, never has TV assembled a bigger bunch of beguiling, sweet, socially dysfunctional geeks in the name of reality TV. They've got the entire population of Afghikistan in one location, including the Brickmaster, a man that has devoted his life to hanging out in toy shops. Enough said.
Yes.
Across this series, there have been some amazing challenges. And last week was the underwater challenge, where they made the beautiful constructions and then submerged them into water, featuring Hamish Blake in a wetsuit, goggles and a snorkel submerged in a tank. The sad thing about Hamish is he thinks he's the cool one, which makes him the biggest try-hard geek of them all. Now, I want to say this. Without Andy Lee, Hamish is everything. Lose the dead weight, the bromance is over, plus you're both 45 years of age and worth $10 million. Stop pretending to be children, okay? Whack, whack. Now, here's a showbiz rumour for you.
Yeah.
I've heard that off the back of the success of Lego Masters, Andy Lee is pitching a show to SBS called Lego's Masters 2021, where a bunch of geeks get around and make things out of tomato paste.
That'll work.
What do you got going on there, Trevor? Oh, a pool full of blood. Excellent. Now, let's remember what this show is about. Sure, they make amazing things out of Lego, and you genuinely say, wow, but it's adults making things out of Lego, okay? I mean, what's next in reality TV? Let's cross to some depressed men carving things from wood now. Or let's see what prisoners, what weapons they're making from toothbrushes. Or, okay, next we're going to see what the totally insane are sculpting from wet newspaper and their own mess.
Oh, no.
This is a mishmash of lonely, dispossessed, broken and socially awkward people playing with Brock. It's cruel, and ultimately, they end up making Lego things. Okay, what they should be made to do is walk barefoot across the Lego so they know how tortured it is to watch this show. I hate it. I hate them all.
How many stars,
Zero stars. It's a black hole. I'm staying tuned for Lego's Masters. I want to see them sculpting things out of tomato paste. And goodbye.
Good on you, Rudy. We'll catch you next week.
I don't know what champions taste like either.
No. Okay. Thanks, Rudy.
See you, Rudy. Get out of bed and stop yawning. Turn up your phlegm in the
morning. Ruined it's for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M. 7:09 on this Friday morning here on Triple M. Roo, the debate rages on, and in fact, it's heating up right now.
It is heating
Should
up.
Should we open the borders? Is it time?
Well, all the federal ministers want it open. All the premiers pretty much don't want it open, except for New South Wales, yep, who want to open everything up at the moment and get the economy going.
All right, let's hear from her. Now, Gladys Berejiklian, I've got to say from where I sit, has done a terrible job, yet she's the one urging and telling other state premiers how to handle this.
We appreciate that the key to our economic success will be to improve our supply chains and our manufacturing base amongst Australia. So you do need to get those borders open. But I don't want to be able to say to people, I'm allowed to go to Auckland before I can go to Brisbane or before I can go to Perth.
But she's the premier that allowed people to fly through Sydney Airport in their hundreds, in their droves, unchecked, and then filter out and fly to other states.
They made a couple of massive blues, there's no
terrible
doubt about that.
So she's been hopeless through this whole thing. So I don't know that she's really that well placed to give advice.
Having said that, they have got it down to getting one or zero or two or four cases now. So they've made massive leaps forward, but they've made a couple of big hiccups at the start.
All right.
Mark McGowan's the Premier of Western Australia. He is not happy at what she's saying.
They're restricting the number of people who can go to a restaurant or cafe far more than Western Australia is. Yet they're saying, why can't New South Wales people fly to Western Australia? Their message is totally inconsistent. We're not going to give in to that sort of bullying by the New South Wales Premier or anyone else. We're going to protect the health and the economy of Western Australia. I mean, New South Wales had the Ruby Princess. I mean, seriously? And they're trying to give us advice on our borders? Seriously?
He made a good point. You know, the Ruby Princess was very responsible for large numbers here in South Australia.
Oh, yeah, in the whole country.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, massive in the whole country. I don't know what the numbers are out of the 100 deaths, but it's substantial.
Yeah.
It's the biggest stuff up
of all time. Yeah. Now, Anastasia Palaszczuk is the Queensland Premier. She also doesn't want to open her borders right now. Peter Dutton, Home Affairs Minister, is a Queenslander, and he's weighed in.
I believe it's in Queensland's best interest, given that we are a mining state, we're a tourism state. I wouldn't be advocating this position if the Chief Medical Officer wasn't happy with us to reopen the borders. The Chief Medical Officers are happy for the borders to reopen.
Yeah.
The borders were never closed at the direction of the National Cabinet. It was a decision taken by the state premiers.
Lots of people are getting angry. It's starting to be sort of economy v health, which has always been a delicate issue, but everything you read, the doctors want to basically try and eradicate it. They don't want to open it up too early because it'll come back on them. So they're not worried about the economy. They're just worried about the statistics and the figures, and they'll do everything they can to try and eradicate it.
Mm.
Whereas you've got other people who want to actually get the economy going. And we've always said it's just a delicate balance about when you do it.
Mm.
But we've never talked about eradicating it, have we? It's always been about flattening the curve and getting on top of it.
Yeah.
And there are going to be new infections when you open it up, probably. But I don't think there'll be heaps. I mean, we've hardly got any cases. Yeah. Like New South Wales we've spoken about, it's hardly got any. And Northern Territory got none. We've got none. And WA, I don't even know if they've got an active case. There's no reason why those, you know, the whole half, the left hand side, the western side of Australia and central couldn't be open.
Mm.
Really, is there?
No. Well, WA, SA have done a great job, and NT. So you're right, that section of the country probably could open its borders.
They could.
You asked our Premier, Stephen Marshall, about the fact, why don't we just test everyone at the border? So if you're driving in from Victoria, New South Wales, why don't you do a test at one of those
temperature
infrared
tests,
heat things?
Which you can do instantly. And look, it's not a foolproof system, far from it, but the fever is the number one symptom. And they use it on airlines all over the world.
Yep.
They use it at sporting clubs, they'll use it in offices, they'll use it everywhere. So they're already doing it with truckies and bits and pieces. Yeah. I don't know. I'd be happy now to open up the country.
All
myself.
Right. Is it time to open up the borders? 133353. What do you think? Yes or no? Give us an explanation. Is it time we relaxed and opened up the borders? Give us a call. 133353. Best caller, you can do the Adelaide Oval roof climb. It's back open and they're doing it all very hygienically as well. All right. Social distancing and they're wiping down everything. But it opened up last weekend. If you want to try it out, the Adelaide Oval rooftop climb. 7:18 on this Friday morning.
Yeah, we've got a quarter of a million South Australians looking for work at the moment. Do we have to get the economy going or do we have to be more worried about the coronavirus second wave? Let's go to Christie's Beach. G'day, Daniel.
Morning, gentlemen. How are you going?
Good, Daniel. What do you reckon?
No, I think we should keep the borders closed. The reason being is at the moment in this nation, we do not have a position where we have no case in the nation just yet. We're still probably getting some about Queensland and Victoria. We're doing a good job so far in keeping no cases in our state. If we open up our borders, all it really takes is just one unchecked and we could be in the same position we were in a few months ago.
I don't think it's going to spread that quick, Daniel. Have you got a job at the moment and you're all going okay?
Yes, I am a hygiene driver. Well, it's on a hygiene. I'm actually currently going to one of our sites now in Enfield. We've been pretty much working throughout. We haven't really lost much of our business. We're still going strong. We service so many places. We're going to bounce back from this better than ever, in my opinion, once this is all over.
Mm. All right. Good on you, Daniel. Good, strong opinion. We'll take more calls in just a moment. 133353. Ruined It's on Triple M. Is it time to open the borders? Our premiers right around the states can't agree on this. They can't see eye to eye.
No, and our federal ministers want it opened up. They say it is time, but they're losing their power at the moment. Let's go to Hallett Cove. G'day, Greg.
G'day, guys. How you going?
Good, Greg.
Good. Yeah, I'm a bit of the view of, keep the borders closed, but let's get the bloody state going, Let's get these pubs and clubs and all the activities open and forget about these 10, limiting numbers to 10 and 20 and all of that. I'd rather see us go down that path. And then once the states have got themselves clear, the eastern states clear of the COVID completely, then open up the borders. Because until you get your own state going, what's the point of opening up the borders anyway?
Yeah, good point. Yeah, I'm probably on the same page, Greg.
Yeah, just feel like we need to do it a bit quicker here at the moment.
Yeah, just I want to go back to that question about the showdown being played at Adelaide Oval. If it's about not having four umpires in South Australia, four AFL
let's say
standard
we've got
umpires,
two.
Well, surely common sense prevails. Bring in the two umpires we need. Test them or,
bring them in 2 days, 3 days before.
Yeah. For the sake of getting that game going. And then I know people listening will go, oh, why make exceptions for them? Well, because otherwise it means about 80 people with the two footy clubs have to fly somewhere else rather than fly two in here. I mean, it just doesn't stack up, does it?
Doesn't make any sense. There's plenty of people getting exemptions. It's not just footy players. There's heaps of people.
So surely common sense prevails there, right?
Yep. Let's go to Hallett Cove. Is that where we just went?
No, Coromandel Valley. We'll go to Richard. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning, Ruined Dits. How are you guys?
Good, Richard. Good, thanks.
I've been listening to you this morning, and I like the science that you've been putting forward, which is, I don't generally agree with your science sometimes, but I think what you said was if we can split the country in half, the three western states, open those borders, and then open the eastern seaboard borders, and then, watch that for, 3 or 4 weeks and see what happens.
So do it gradually.
Yeah.
I mean, because we've got to get the work happening, and... it's just, no one's going to agree. Everyone's going to say, no, do it my way.
Yeah.
Do it my way. But if we do it inchy pinchy, and I think Brew might agree with this one, if we have an each way bet.
each way all day, they say.
Because it's something that we've never, ever, ever dealt with. And, there's no playbook. So we've got to make it up as we go. And, you look around the world, people are making up really strange things. And, it is working, it isn't working. We've got to sort of think out of the square and, you guys nailed it. You said, let's split down the middle and give that a go. If it doesn't work, then we go back to what works.
Well, it makes plenty of sense, doesn't it? There's no cases in Northern Territory. They're better than us, and WA are not far behind us. So,
and Ron, I know you think like I do. Anyone that rings us and praises us and says, you've done a good job this morning, wins the prize to the Adelaide Oval roof climb. So, Richard, good on you, mate. And as we've said, look, it opened up last weekend. This has been so popular. Peninsula. So experience Adelaide from a new perspective with Roof Climb Adelaide Oval, now open for bookings at roofclimb.com.au. So a bit 50-50 there. Some are saying no, keep them closed. For the, but actually, I thought Greg made a very good comment as well. Let's get our state going within.
Yeah, because, I reckon we have to do it a bit faster than what we're doing.
Yeah. But I'm all for that too, Roo. Let's do it within. Probably before we open the borders, but let's get things happening here because we've done a great job, haven't we?
Yep, absolutely. Let's get it cranking.
In a moment, Adelaide comedian Amos Gill is going to join us. What a life he's leading. He's travelling the world supporting Jim Jefferies, one of the world's great comedians. So he plays all these massive venues, Madison Square Garden and all sorts of things.
Yeah, we'll have a chat to Gilly. He's a good fella. So is Luke Boner, who I love listening to. Did you love listening to him on the way in?
On the way in. He does the overnight program Australia-wide on Triple M.
Always got good topics, always well-read, quite intelligent, loves his sport. He had this beauty during the night.
I haven't met Heather Mackay either, and she's mine.
Yeah, well, I've heard you go on about Heather Mackay, and she was a great squash player.
She only lost two matches in her whole career. She was
that's just amazing.
She completely dominated world squash. See, it's because it's squash. Not everyone's into squash, and it's not a great game to watch. I've seen it on television. It's not great. Only squash players like watching squash.
What a whack,
isn't it?
What about Boner doing that? He was putting her up for the GOAT, one of the greatest of all time.
Yeah, greatest of all time, yeah.
Is it a good game to watch or not?
It's probably, no. That's what it's been criticised for. I don't watch it. I play it.
You don't watch it. Well, you can't. You've got athlete's foot at the moment. So as a result of being a
Heather Mackay won 16 British Opens in a row.
And only lost 16. Two games.
Yeah, I don't think she even did that. I think you got that wrong, but she never ever lost, never beat.
Don't question Luke
16
Boner.
Years in a row.
Yeah.
How's that?
That's why he thinks she's a goat.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. Let's get Gilly on. Amos Gill to join us next.
A millennial, an unlikable person to the baby boomer. Baby boomers hate us. Why? Why does your generation hate us so much? My dad's a boomer. I asked him that question. He goes, it's because you take photos of your food. Stupid. Why do you take photos of your food for? I'll tell you why. Because we grew up with the shittest food. And then we took over the cafes and we can't f***ing believe how good it is now.
Please welcome to Triple M's Ruined Dits for Breakfast, Amos Gill.
Oh, what a career this man's had and what he's having. He's in the middle of it. He started here with us in Austria. Actually, he's a Riverland boy.
He is a Riverland boy.
Then started here in Austria. Now he is international. He's everywhere, living in LA. Adelaide comedian Amos Gill, good morning.
G'day, Ruined Dits. How are you? No longer living in LA, to be perfectly honest with you. In Adelaide, unemployed, unessential.
Hey.
Staying as far away from Donald Trump and the Americans as I can.
What's wrong with Trumpy?
Well, mate, he does want you to put bleach in your arm, but other than that, I don't hate him too much. I do have a Make America Great Again hat because you've got to appeal to the Southerners when you go on the road.
Oh, those hats would be gold.
What I have been worried about now that I'm here in Adelaide, because you get a lot of time to think now. You've been trailing the news, but this 5G does worry me. Well, mate, 5 weeks ago, I was in love with my girlfriend, and then she left me, and that was the same time they turned the 5G on, and I reckon it's cooked ahead. So.
You reckon that's what's done it?
Yeah, I've just started saying that for everything. Amos, why were you late? 5G.
5G. Yeah, it's fashionable to blame that. But you have been travelling the world with Jim Jefferies, very, very famous Australian comedian. So you've had a couple of incredible years on the road, haven't you?
Yeah, we were in Europe all through December. We did 25 shows. We did the O2 Arena. We did a whole bunch of places through the Middle East. And we both got sick, actually, in like December. For like 3 days. Yeah. So we think that we maybe got the antibodies early and I could have been one of the super spreaders back here. So,
good that you're back then. Well, you had a camera crew follow you around for a while too.
Well, I've got this YouTube special for my comedy show. It's called Festival Act. It's on YouTube now. You should just search for Amos Gill Festival Act. Over the Adelaide Fringe, this camera crew followed me around on one night at the Adelaide Festival. And when you look at it back now, it actually makes you very upset just to see what life used to be like.
So 4 shows in one night?
Well, normally in the Fringe you do, 5, 6 sometimes.
Really? You know? How tiring is that?
Well, it's not too tiring when you get that piece of paper folded into the hand.
Oh, cashies.
Bit of folding.
I shouldn't be saying that, but it is the cashy time. And, Roo, you'd know what that's about in September.
No. I declare every single bit of income I get.
All right. Good on you, Gilly. Thanks for joining us, mate, and good luck. It's called Festival Acting. You can find it on YouTube. Get out of bed. Don't hit snooze. Turn on Triple M. You can't lose. Ruined it for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M. 7:43, thanks to Distinctive Homes. Roo, a story coming out of the world of AFL.
Mm.
The idea of marquee players. Chris Judd's been mentioned as an example.
Well, yeah, because, yes, he got paid a reasonable amount of money by Vizzy.
To be an ambassador.
Mm. Yeah, very well-paid ambassador. Yeah. And then in the end, the AFL said, listen, we might have to start actually including this into the salary cap
because
it smells a little bit. And Gary Ablett was another one that was with, you know, working hard with Frank Costa down there, the bloke that owns most of Geelong.
Mm-hmm. Well, he was a marquee player at Gold Coast as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, but he was a captain and highly paid, but there's no such thing as a marquee player.
No, but tell me this. Was he paid overs and did...
No, it all went in the cap, though.
It did?
Yeah, absolutely. We've never been able to pay anyone outside the cap.
But didn't the AFL do things with both the new clubs, GWS? What about Carmichael Hunt? What about Israel Folau?
Yeah, that was from other codes.
But I think they were paid overs by the AFL. You would say they were marquee type situations.
We've never actually had a situation what they're suggesting we could do now because there could be a reduction in salary caps and there's definitely a reduction in the what they call a soft cap, which is all the coaches and physios and doctors and all that sort of stuff. So clubs are saying, well, gee, can we have a couple of marquee players where we can pay them more but outside the cap just so that... You know, we don't lose this part of the game where the players are getting big money, but I would have thought the clubs would want the fact that they don't have to pay them so they don't have to make the money and the money is less and we don't have to have as many sponsors and as many members and, you know, all these new ideas and new business revenues. Yep. You know, we don't have to worry about China and we don't have to worry about the online gaming, the esports that the Crows do and all that. You have to get so creative. So I'm surprised about it. But I know the Players Association would love it because then you have two players at every club, so 36 blokes getting a stack of cash.
Mm. So are you for it or against it?
At this early stage, I'm against it. But happy to be discuss it openly and find out a bit more about it.
And make a comeback.
If it was back paid back to, you know, the early 2000s, I'd probably twist my arm fairly quickly. Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. Hey, in a moment, you won't believe it. I can't believe I've gone down this path.
What's happened?
The Rush Hour boys have had another go.
Are you kidding?
Oh, no.
Is this get
candy what from a
they,
baby?
Did this they like what we did yesterday against them?
Look, well, I'll play it to you in just a moment.
Have they held up okay or not?
Oh, what do you think?
No.
We are playing with rank amateurs.
C graders.
We're playing out of our depth here. Righto. Ruined it's on Triple M. Ruined it's here on Triple M. Roo, we like to think we're a family, we're a team here at Triple M, but the Rush Hour boys have broken the code.
Well, they started a war.
They started a stoush.
They probably shouldn't have, to be quite honest.
It's a fight they can't win.
And they've been embarrassed a little bit, haven't they? Mm. I mean, yesterday we did expose Bernie for just ripping off Billy's bake.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Listen to his
response.
It's
completely different. Mind you, Nick. I personalise it. First of all, I write it myself as well. He gets his written for him.
Yeah.
And it's only once every couple of months whenever someone will write it for him. Mine's once a week.
Yep.
It's got a sponsor
correct,
too.
Burn, so which you got.
Big sponsor too, Country Living Homes, which I went out and sourced. Yep. But I think I've given Ditz too much credit over the years, Jazz.
You have.
I have.
This is the same bloke that falls asleep in a creek bed at Arnold.
Hang on.
Well, because you're trying to get in touch with nature, you wanted to have a look at the stars one night. You can't have a crack about that. And Bernie knew a lot about Billy's Bake for someone who, you know.
Reckons he's never heard it.
Never heard of it. He knew everything about it.
Can I make another comment? Sorry, totally unrelated, by the way, but I just thought it was a fair opportune time to raise this. I just want to say to you, congratulations. Well done on you being on the front page of the Advertiser yesterday.
Well, I was just trying to help the industry,
It was good to see a Triple M personality on the front page of the Advertiser for the right reasons.
Oh, what are you referring to?
No, nothing at all.
What are you referring to?
No, I just wanted
to say
it was
good. Is that a swipe at Bernie or Jazz?
Oh, no, neither. Well, you know. That well, is who's a... been on the front page of the paper?
Oh, that's a low blow, but this is what happens when you start a fight. Gee, did.
By the way, Byrne, because he went on to say, he goes, well, I'm on at the same time. As...
Okay,
have a listen.
Well, one thing is, Jazz, we've got what we wanted. We've actually got them off their ass, and they've started to prepare segments for their show.
Good
and
boy.
We've had a win, Jazz. That's all we wanted to do. If you listen to back what I said, start preparing, not reacting.
Do the homework.
Proactive, not reactive. So they've finally done it.
Okay.
But
they've attacked you.
They've attacked me, all right. First of all, they said something about me having L plates on or P plates on. What do you do with L platers on the road, Jazz?
Well, you give them a bit of respect. You go
around and you keep clear of them. Why are they engaging with us if I'm an L plater?
Yeah. No, you don't. No, you give them like a bloody kid. Massive mouthful when they can't see you do it.
When they stall at the lights.
And you go, gee, who taught that kid? I wouldn't want to be in that car.
Spot on.
Yeah, so Ben, you are in that category, my son.
So would you argue in that partnership that Jazz is the experienced radio person? So Byrne is learning from Jazz. Is that what we're saying here?
Yeah, that's a risk. Ooh. That's like having a dodgy, driver, the learner driver, isn't it? The one that gets done for corruption or something. Anyway, keep going, boys.
And just a final thing, Byrne sort of went on to say, well, I'm on at the same time as, the rush hour in Melbourne, so how could I ever have listened to Billy's Bake? Because fair to say, Byrne, there aren't things like podcasts.
Oh, podcasts.
And, websites and,
social media.
Social media, there's none of that. So no way in the world you could ever have heard it before.
Wouldn't have heard of
Billy's Bake. I'm sorry I accused you of that.
Yeah.
Let's just calm down. The uprise is coming, my friend. Watch. Okay. There's some big changes coming. All right, Byrne, that's all I'll say.
Is that okay?
All right. Those who live in glass houses should not throw stones. You with me?
I'm with you.
And if anyone's plagiarising, it's ruined Dits or family, should I say, Harry and Lloyd.
Some little filly break your heart?
No, it was a girl. Breda Belcher.
I thought we were going to be together forever.
She give you any reason?
Yeah, I called her up. She gave me a bunch of crap about me not listening to her enough or something. I don't know. I wasn't really paying attention.
I'm happy to be
Harry and Lloyd for breakfast.
Now, Harry and Lloyd is the two people in Dumb and Dumber. Now, I'm quite happy to be compared to Jim Carrey. One of my favourite movies, Dumb and Dumber. But
We've given them too much oxygen.
They're putting the white flag up.
We've given them too much. 7:57, Roo and Dits here on Triple M. Roo, it's the New Zealand Prime Minister, Jacinda Ardern, or Ahern as you call her, has come up with this idea of working a four-day week. She's come up with it through this coronavirus situation. We'll talk about it next, see what our listeners think. Roo and Dits on this Friday morning. Hey, Roo, look out the window. It looks ordinary. What's going on out there?
3 to 8 mils, I think, out there today, and it's looking very rainy as we start the day.
We can barely see, from one block away, can we?
Lucky we've got no planes
normally
in the sky.
We see the ocean and everything from up here, 13th floor in the city, but no.
She's a bit wet,
very
Dits.
Pea soup out there.
Yes.
Now, Jacinda Ardern, the most popular New Zealand Prime Minister in history. Her approval rating has gone absolutely berserk because they think she's done such a great performance through this corona situation, has come up with a concept of a four-day working week.
Not new, but definitely new in the world in terms of we haven't embraced it. We haven't done it. We haven't had heaps of businesses say, listen, if you want to do your 38 hours in 4 days, we'll accommodate that.
Well, we know there are people now that do work four-day weeks, but she's actually saying, no, I want to bring this in.
No, but you're saying that from coronavirus, aren't you?
No. There are people in society that, not every week, but say 1 week in a month, we'll do a four-day week. And make up the hours at another time.
Right.
There are people that do that, to do that. Yeah, but she's saying, she believes that work-life balance, very, very important, and she's throwing this out there as a suggestion.
Too many people get cooked with working too hard. There's no doubt about that. It happens in the sporting world, happens in the business world all the time. I reckon it's a big thing. I'm big on that, Dits.
All right.
Huge
so
on that.
What do you think? Four-day week?
Look, if it was me, if I was an employee of a company and they threw it out to me, I'd be all over it. Absolutely do
it. What we're saying, though, is don't think you're getting a day off.
No.
You're going to do more hours on those 4 days.
Yeah, well, instead of doing 5 8-hour days, you're going to do 4 10-hour days.
Yeah.
Look, to me, you could start at 7:30 and finish at 6. You could start at 7 and finish at 5:30. You could start at 6 and finish at 4:30. Do that 4 days a week, still with a half an hour for lunch, and you're there. So it would mean you might have to sacrifice missing, not seeing your kids at breakfast.
See, it's a big sacrifice for a lot of people, things like that. And what if you're getting home all of a sudden at 7 at night or 7:30 at night? By the time
you would see them at breakfast if you're getting home that late because you'd be starting later. But heaps of dads and mums at the moment don't see their kids at one end of the day. Heaps of them.
Really?
If they're in a decent job, earning decent money, they definitely are. Heaps of people. And it's not great. I'm not saying it's fantastic. It's not. They just have to do that to survive. Mm. I mean, look at us. We're sitting here right now. Mel's got kids. I've got kids. We're not there for one part of the day.
Yeah.
It's happening.
All right, Mel the Button Pusher, you're a good example here. You've got two children who are 5 and 2, I think.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Correct.
So let's say you are the average person out there working 9 till 5. All of a sudden, if it was 9 till 7, you couldn't do it, surely. You're missing meal time, bath time, all of that, put kids to bed.
And it'd put a strain on the relationship as well, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Because of that, because one person would be left carrying the can, probably.
Yep.
And if you've got kids in school, are you really getting that much more quality time with them if they're in school on that fifth day that you have off?
Mm.
But can you do a second job if that's what's important to you? Can you learn to study on that day? Can you go to the gym on that day? Can you go and do some yoga on that day? Can you do whatever you want on that day? Can you go to school and
do
reading on that day? Can you volunteer all day? Can you stay in bed all day? It just opens up possibilities that you haven't got before.
All right, so there's people like Mel, all right, two little kids. Then there'll be the young lad who's 25, 26 on his own, and the young lady as well, and she might think, this is perfect for me. I'd love to have every Friday off or every Monday off. So there's going to be, you know, a couple of different ways of looking at
it. Can you
for
live
sure.
in the country and just come down from Monday to Thursday and go back and live in the hills? Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, there's plenty of opportunities for it that would work in some cases and some cases it wouldn't. But I think it's fantastic, honestly, dude.
All right. But as I said, Roo, we would be working longer days and getting home a bit later and getting up a lot earlier.
But a 10-hour day for a lot of people is not a long day. A lot of people do that anyway. So for those people, it would be a walk in the park.
This is us talking from a point of view of working 3 hours a day, but anyway.
No, it is. Absolutely it is. 133353, let's have your say. Do you like the idea of the opportunity to work 4 days? We're not saying it's compulsory.
And I think
it's your choice.
As I said, I think employer's there are people doing choice. It. If you're one of those people, please explain to us how it works and is it a good thing?
Yep, 133353, give us a buzz.
8:14, Ruined. It's on Triple M. New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern wants to go to a 4-day working week. What do you reckon?
I'd love it. Let's go to Anthony. How are you, Anthony?
I'm well, Roo. Yourself?
Where do you live?
Up at Houghton, mate. Top Teacher Gully.
Houghton. Okay. Good stuff. Love that spot. Should be cold and
I have to
wet
say,
up there.
Alice has put on the screen how fun. So you live apparently in how fun.
It's a lot of fun up there.
Yeah, it is a lot of fun. What do you think about the 4-day week?
We're doing it this week, mate. We do a lot of, the nature of my business, we do a lot of 10, 12-hour days. So any opportunity we get to have a 4-day week, like it's raining today, it's a 4-day week.
So
it's
great. Are you a landscaper?
I used to be. I quit that a year ago, Roo. You know who I am.
Yes, I do. Yep. What are you doing now?
So I've had an earth-moving business for the last 10 years, high-speed excavations.
Yep.
And pay your staff from base to base. So there's a lot of 10, 12-hour days, mate, but any opportunity to have a four-day week, we take it.
Yeah, well, you're a classic example.
And how does it affect your lifestyle, though? If you're saying 10 or 12-hour days, what time does it mean? You know, tell us about your start time and then what time you get home at night.
Well, generally we're gone by 6:30 in the morning, get home at 5:30, 6 at night, sometimes later, especially in daylight savings. So don't see a lot of my kids, but in saying that, you know, I travel a lot with them when we have long weekends. Give them a day off of school, take them. If I have a day off, I drop them at school, pick them up, have lunch with a mate. What else can you want to do in life? It's great. Yeah.
All right. Good on you, Anthony. There's someone
that
can handle it.
You want your kids to miss you a little bit too, don't you? You don't want to spoil them too much, I don't think, without sounding like being too harsh.
What do you mean by that?
Well, you don't want to be there all the time and have dad there and wipe their bums all the time. You want them to miss you a little bit. Just like when we go away on a boys' trip or the girls go away, you can't wait to see them when they get home.
Okay.
Otherwise you get sick of them, each other a little bit, don't you?
They're your own kids.
Yeah, I know. Let's go to Hackham West. G'day, Russell. Thanks for helping me there, Dits.
Yeah, g'day, Russ.
G'day, Russ. What do you like the idea of a 4-day week or not?
No, well, I can't see the point, really, because you get an RDO, a roster day off, every month. You do 40 hours a week as it is. Now, I think a 4-day week, well, I mean, that's all right for some people, I suppose. I mean, office workers or whatever. But, I mean, a guy that works 10 hours a day for a week or for a month and gets a day off every month, I think that's enough.
Well, it might be enough for you, but some people might want an extra day off every
Sounds
week.
Sounds like you want to go to work every day, Russ. You don't enjoy being home on that day off.
Yeah, well, every month you get a day off.
Right.
Why not every week?
Why every week?
All right, fair enough.
Well, they obviously like your job. Good luck to you. You sound like you're happy with your work-life balance as it is, Russ, which is why it should be open to people, not compulsory. Let's go to Mount Barker. What do you think, Kim?
Good morning, Rude. Dips, how are you?
Good Kim. Thanks, Kim.
Yeah. Well, we've been working in the food industry all my working life. It's the perfect situation for manufacturing because you're staffing up boilers, compressors, everything like that.
That's right.
You're running your machines, you're trying to run them efficiently. So you're running them, and the longer period you run a machine, the better your efficiencies are.
Yep.
And so the thing is, usually, like their guys here at work start at 7 in the morning. We've talked about it here. They'd have to finish at 5:30 to do a 10-hour day because we don't pay them for the lunch break.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so it would work. It would work really well because we'd kind of get longer production runs out, which means your efficiencies would go up.
Yep.
So it's a good idea. We've actually talked about it here, but we've actually haven't done it. So.
Okay. Do you want to say what your business is or you want to keep it quiet?
The business is actually at Piccadilly, a spring water company, privately owned.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Spring water beverages, the name of the company. Our products, Crystal Springs.
Yep. See those everywhere.
So just a small group of people, but if for summer period it would be ideal. The longer shift, well, the guys actually this year had to work 6 days a week to get out all the production. But it would be good because this time of year we could run for a longer shift and the guys would get Fridays off. So.
Yeah, all right. Sounds good. Thank you, Kim.
You can't tell me you wouldn't like Fridays off.
No, I'd love it.
You'd be dangerous. Yeah. Had some good callers there. Up for the top five coming up. There were best parts of the week. And then Rudy Vanderstone will join us, and then I'll try and tip you a winner if the jockey can bloody ride it straight.
Oh, it was his fault.
Oh,
was
the
it?
Bloody jockeys! I tell you, God, I had a piece of them last week.
Rue, as I look at the computer screen, it says mystery caller.
Who could this be? Let's find out. Hello. Good morning.
Good morning. How are we going?
Who's that?
Who's this? I believe we've got a telehealth appointment for Mr. Ditz.
Is that Dr. Lane?
This is Dr. Lane. How are you going?
What are you ringing for? I think I put two and two together.
Oh, well, maybe the clock's ticking. I thought I had an appointment with Ditz here.
Why?
What's going on with this foot?
You are all pathetic.
This is unbelievable.
You are all pathetic.
You've got athlete's foot.
I've got athlete's foot, Doc.
Yeah. Fungus.
Yeah.
Is that?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, how did that happen? What, well, have you been in ISO?
I've had it for years. You get it. As you know, when you're a highly
strung
athlete.
You get it for life,
athlete,
do you?
When you're a fit athlete, as I was once, you are you're always using change rooms and showers, and I picked it up years and years ago, and I've always had it.
Okay, so you need to treat it, Ditz.
Yeah. What's the best way to treat it?
Well, okay, so if it's athlete's foot, best thing you can do is go to the pharmacy, get some cream. You can get the, just over the counter, something, an antifungal cream and whack it on. You can actually get like a liquid now that you can paint on your foot. And Well, you can drink it too. Let's see how that goes. You sound like Donald Trump now. you just paint it on your foot, and then that should sort of kill any athlete's foot. So,
Hey, Doc, while we've got you on the line, just in case, you know, we're totally misunderstood here. What are the symptoms of gout?
I haven't got gout.
I know you haven't. I just want to know, but
It's athlete's foot.
What are the symptoms of gout, please, Doctor?
Okay, well, first of all, gout normally affects old men, so that's the first thing. The second thing, second thing, okay, normally you've got a really painful joint. It's an arthritis. So is it sore? Yeah, what's it look like? Just describe. Can you see this foot?
Describe it.
Tell me what bloody athlete's foot, for God's sake.
No, let's go through gout, though. Describe your pain.
Is it painful?
No.
He can't put his shoe on. He can't put his shoe on.
Oh, this is getting better. Jeez, this is.
Can you? Is gout always in your big toe, or can it go down, you know, to your smaller toes?
Well, it's often in a big toe, so it's often
But
along
can
there.
It go down to the other toes?
Well, it can affect other joints, yes, but it's normally... Okay, so it's... Jeez.
I've actually got a sore elbow as well. Can you get in the elbow?
If you were a betting man, Dr. Lane, does it sound gouty or athlete's foot from 30 years ago?
Well, it doesn't sound like athlete's foot. Oh, it's painful, that's for sure, yeah.
You're a quack.
I said it before. I'm still sending you my bill.
And if someone comes in and with a fungal issue on their foot, do you say they've got tinea or athlete's foot?
Yeah, I call it tinea. Yeah,
it's more serious than that. I shouldn't even be here. I should have taken the day off.
All right, Dr. Lane. Have we got coronavirus under control here or what?
We've done well. I think we've got it under control at the moment. Don't get too complacent, but I think we've done pretty well.
Open it up. State?
Internally? Yeah, I think we'll just start slow, I think, at the moment. So go slow, see how we go.
You're dropping out there, Don.
I'm not taking his advice anyway.
I think we've had enough of that.
You are childish. You said, just before I think we've spoken enough about you. Yeah, yeah. You're an idiot.
On Ruined Dits for Breakfast.
Hello.
Get it straight from the horse's mouth.
I'm Mr. Red.
It's time for Roo's Tip of the Week.
Oh, God, all you do, you just do your research, you watch video after video, you do the track work, you do everything right, you work out which is the fastest horse, and then these little bloody jockeys get in the way.
Oh, the jockey's
fault.
Have
a listen to Symphonette, the heavily backed tip on Triple M last week, get held up.
Is free thrill. Symphonette's badly held up, but Star Hills ran to the lead from Zar Race. Extreme Thrill coming home hard. Star Hill Zar Race finds back.
All he had to do was steer it straight.
So tell me, just so I know, because I've kept my ticket, can I go to the TAB and say, oh, but it was the jockey?
You're a jinx, Dits.
Will they
seriously
give me my money back?
I reckon
for that
you are a jinx. So I said back that one, it got badly held up, terrible ride. Yeah. And then I said, G-tra. Yeah. Have a crack at that in the Goodwood. And I thought our money was ours.
400 metres to run in the Goodwood, and Keelong's belting along in the lead, but Geetra is stalking.
Go Geetra.
They sprint now. Keelong goes well. Geetra goes better. He lays up to Keelong.
Keep going.
Geetra strikes the lead from Keelong. Running on is Trekking. Further back, Order of Command.
Keep going.
It's Geetra clear. Trekking's a big danger. Trekking's after Keelong. It's in front. Geetra. Geetra and Trekking. Trekking got up to win final stride and took the Goodwood.
So what happened with that one? Was that the jockey or?
That was just beaten by, but the horse switches off when it hits the front. It goes to sleep. It says, I've beaten.
Well, I'll say
you.
That as well. When I go to the tab and say, yeah, but the horse switched off. Just look, there's a bit of a pattern forming here.
Now, I've got to apologise, listeners. The tip didn't win last week and didn't run a place. Okay, didn't quite get the chocolates last week.
You've got that from last year.
Come on, Dits.
Broken record,
me.
Right?
How come you always say, what's the tip this week then,
You might win one day.
All right, well, let's go to race 5 at Murray Bridge tomorrow. Beautiful track. Best horses usually get the crack at winning at Murray Bridge with the track there. So let's hope. I think this is only a 2-horse race, Dits. There's 11.
How many racing cliches have we got in this one
there's
segment?
There's 13 horses.
Oh, it's a 2-horse
there's
race.
There's 13 horses, but I think only 2 of them are good enough. They are number 10 and number 11.
Right.
And I'm going to back number 11 called Manzella. Okay, it's got young Lockie Neindorf on. He's an apprentice, best apprentice.
Just ride this thing well, because you'll get blamed next week.
You won't make it back to Adelaide, Lockie. You may as well keep running back to Melbourne if you don't ride this home. So get on Manzella. You can get $4 now. Get on the nose. Have $1 on the nose and you should be fine. And then in the next race, Dits, that Symphonette is running. Okay, in the next race, if you You know, it should get its chance, but
righto.
It's a little bit shorter, that race.
Okay.
It's a back marker.
All right. It's been a great week, Roo.
It has been a good week.
We'll do it all again Monday morning.
Enjoy the rain, everyone, and see you Monday. Yeah.